Welcome to the Original Recipe Group Big Book Step Study. Broadcasting from Newcastle, PA, every Monday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Zoom.
It's always, my name is Brian. I'm an Alcoholic Anonymous. And it's always a pleasure to do my job as an Alcoholic Anonymous, which is to share the experience of my, my spiritual experience, the experience of doing the 12 steps, the spiritual experience I had as a result of doing the 12 steps that are in this book. It is that I share with other alcoholics. And that's the general premise of what I do. And then when in the reading today, tonight, whatever this is, it tells us so many really specific things about how to go about that really just all make so much sense the way they lay everything out, the instructions that are in here. So I have all these wonderful instructions that are in the book, but then also I have the tacit experience of the way my, and I didn't even know this was happening when it happened, but when my sponsor was helping me, I learned so much without even knowing that I was learning it, just by the way that he treated me, the all kinds of ways that he interacted with me that made the relationship that I had with him very clear. You know, we weren't talking about, just friends out, talking about cars or different subjects or things like that. Our conversations, although he was willing to spend a lot of time with me, that time was devoted to the understanding of alcoholism. That is why he was willing to give up so much of his free time with me, which I always felt that, I'm not really worthy of his time. But he always, made it really clear what it was about, that we weren't developing a relationship between him and myself, but I was going to develop a relationship with God. And that he would help guide me, and that relationship was the one that was the strong one. Is that the purpose was for me to develop a relationship with God, not to develop a relationship with him. And many times he would reassure me that, if any time came during the process that he was working with me, and I felt as though somebody else had a message that was more in tune with what my experience was, or somebody that spoke to me in a way that made sense to me, he said I would always be free to follow someone else, to ask someone else to help me through the process, that I didn't have to worry about, hurting his feelings if I asked somebody else if they would help me. Sometimes I thought to myself, is he trying to get rid of me? I wasn't, I was a little unsure. I thought maybe he's figured out he's got into the wrong problem here with me. But he was, I just learned through the way he worked with me, the way he treated me. He was always kind. He never talked down to me. He was always, even if I said something that didn't even make any sense, or I remember writing stuff in my book one time that was like completely wrong. He told me to, to make a list of names. And I wrote like an 8-page letter about my father's problems and showed it to him. And he says, no, just the name. But he didn't make me feel stupid for doing that. Do you know what I mean? He made me feel like, well, save that. It might come in handy later. It didn't, of course. But it's just the way he treated me was so nice. And then in reading the instructions here, there's just so much about, and of course today, I think there's a lot of different ways that people can be of service. I was thinking while we're reading was thinking that, you know, there was a guy in my Marshfield group that he didn't work with that many alcoholics as far as bringing them through the 12 steps, but he was like, he was always at the clinics and the recovery houses and the treatment centers. He was always at those doing the commitment, speaking. And the people that he brought into the program, just like some unbelievable people that helped tons and tons and tons of people, that this guy kind of 12-step into the big book to bring them in there and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different ways. I was very fortunate. I mean, when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought, going to the open speaker meeting, I thought, you know, like I was 35 years old. There's a lot of younger people in the meeting. I'm thinking, you know, and they're talking about their problems at a meeting, and you know, the cat peed in the laundry, and you know, they're having arguments with the roommates about it and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, these guys should just ask me to sponsor them. I can straighten these problems out. But nobody asked me to sponsor them. You know, nobody asked me to be the sponsor. And that's just the way it goes. And then when I finally got to get involved in this process, I made it to the Marshfield Men's Big Book Step Study. I listened to the meetings for a few weeks, and I decided, yes, this is what God wants me to do. He wants me to go through this process. It was scary, but I knew that's what I needed to do. And I remember being in the meeting one night, and I was like, who am I going to ask to help me? And I prayed to God. And darned if that night, I mean, I was considering these three different people, and that night, my sponsor spoke about what a good sponsor would be. And I thought, wow, that's you, man. That's you. And I asked him right after the meeting. I just knew this is the guy I had to ask. So it was, you know, going through that the 12-step process, having that tremendous spiritual experience. I mean, just an unbelievable. I mean, I came in as an atheist, and I had this overwhelming spiritual experience, just a mind-blowing spiritual experience that I couldn't deny. You know, it was unbelievable. And then I thought, well, you know, then I'm sitting in the meeting, I spoke for the first time, and I thought, okay, the only thing keeping me from speaking right now is my fear of speaking. And I listened for a while, and then I thought, you know, I have experience on the first couple of steps, so I should speak. And I thought, okay, I will. It came to me. I prayed. I said the 7-step prayer. I spoke about whatever that step was, whatever came into my mind. I talked on that. And then I thought, wow, you really messed that up. That was dreadful. No, you didn't even say anything that made any sense whatsoever. And I just stood there afterwards, like my face was red. I was studying my shoes. And I'm like, what a disaster that was. And I thought to myself, you know what, though? I prayed to God. I spoke about what the thoughts that came into my mind. I thought that must be what God wanted me to do. And then after the meeting, like 3, 4, 5 people came up to me after the meeting, and they said, they looked me right in the eyes, shook my hand, and they said, Brian, what you spoke about at the meeting tonight made so much sense to me. Yeah, I could identify with exactly what you said. That really, really rang true with me. And by the time the fourth person said that, I went, wow, man, holy, this really works. This thing of praying and doing it really works. I was like flabbergasted. And then I thought, well, you know, I heard other people talking about you know, having sponsoring people and stuff like that. And I wondered that I heard people praying, oh, put somebody in my life that I can sponsor. And I thought, well, the relationship with God that I had built so far, didn't make sense. It was like, all I'm supposed to do is pray for knowledge of his will and the power to carry it out. And I did that at every meeting. And then all of a sudden, I guess when I was ready, people started asking me to sponsor them. And what an unbelievable experience. You know, just I got a letter right here on my desk that I wrote just the other day. I was, you know, and it's one of the first guys I sponsored. You know, he wants to go to Canada. And he can't get in because of his original driving offense was driving under the influence, crashing a car, and he can't cross the border now. So I'm writing a letter of what you call, I don't know, what character type witness, whatever it is. And it made me think when you were doing the how many years of sobriety, I thought, wow, I wrote down 37. And I started thinking, I'm not 37. It was like this year finding out. On my birthday, I wasn't as old as I thought I was. I was a year less. So it was nice. So it works the same way with sobriety. I thought it was 37. It's 36, which is good news to me. Feels like I got another year left. So in writing that, I just, you know, was thinking about just what a high quality guy this was. You know, just like just a super guy. And there, you know, witnessing how somebody does this process, you know, a single guy has all kinds of issues going on. He asked me for help. He comes to the Marshfield meeting. He asked me to help him through. He does the 12 steps. He does all 12 steps. He helps somebody else through the 12 steps. He doesn't rush off. And then he ends up, he gets a girlfriend, they get married, he's got two beautiful daughters, they're college age, and he is the sweetest, he's always been like a sweet guy, and just the nicest, and to see that, to be able to witness that so many times, that's what they talk about in this thing, to see the fellowship, to meet new people, to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow about you, to have a host of friends. This is not an experience you must not miss. We know that you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. You know, it's like I log on, I see TK. You know, I met TK many years ago. And, you know, I just, it just brings back wonderful memories. I see him, I think about the experiences we had at different meetings and the friendship that we've developed over the years. And it's just, it's what a change in your life. Like when I wrote the letter, I said, I spent the first 35 years of my life with the mind of a chronic alcoholic. I'm really speaking on behalf of the other guy. But I said, I spent the first 35 years of my life with the mind of a chronic alcoholic. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I was a happy drunk. But I've spent the next 36 years after having a spiritual experience. I would never trade what I had before. So in reading these instructions, figuring out how to work with a guy, it tells me exactly, you know, what to do. It tells me, find out what you can about them first. And then it cautions, it says, don't let somebody sell you. Like, don't let the family say, oh, he has to come see you. But it says, I can go to the family and ask about the candidate. I can ask about him because I need to know as much about him as I can so that when I make the approach, I can put myself in his place and I can approach him in a way that might make sense. I can find out what his drinking experience was, and then I can figure out how do I put this in a way that's going to make the most sense to him. So it gives me that, and it's telling me very specifically, I want to start with step one. I want to talk about the powerlessness of alcohol, the powerlessness of alcohol. I want to talk about the phenomenon of craving. I want to talk about the insanity that precedes the first drink. I want to stay with this topic on drinking, and then let him, you know, make his own identification if he is alcoholic. Don't let me, you know, go in and say, oh, you're an alcoholic. This is what you have to do. You know, I'm not supposed to preach to somebody. I'm not supposed to do any of that. I'm supposed to first engage and get that identification so that he can understand. I tell him about my drinking stories. I hear him about his drinking experiences. And then I see how I can explain the phenomenon of craving so he can see it. I think about how can I explain the insanity so he can identify with it. And then once he gets to that point, and then he thinks, wow, this guy's kind of like me with the experience with alcohol. We're very similar. Then I can take and go, okay, how did you get sober? You know, how did you get over this problem? That's because it says, I can tell him about the hopelessness of the disease because I offer a solution. Sometimes we say, you know, oh, we have a meeting on step one and we have another meeting on step two. No such thing. Every meeting is step one and step two, because you talk about the problem and you have to talk about the solution. There's no way to get around that. You must bring both things to the table when you have a meeting of whether it's one alcoholic or a group of alcoholics. You must talk about the problem and then you must talk about the solution, because you can't offer one without the other. And that's what it's telling me. Once you get the guy to this point, then you explain, he wants to know, how did, and then I can tell him. And then it says, don't be shy about the spiritual part of it. Be free to tell him that, you know, and it tells me, I remember one time, like going to the meetings when they were talking about, where a couple of guys were going to go like 12 step, somebody they called it, at the open speaker meeting when I was young, when I was early in AA. I've never been young. So I go, you know, they were like, oh, we go together. And it never made sense to me. Why would you go sit with a new guy and bring extra people with you? It would be intimidating for me. But right in the book, it says, try and make your first visit alone. You know, see your man alone if you can. You know, do that, because that's the way you do it. That's how you have this open conversation. That's I'm an introvert anyway, so that works good for me. A one-on-one thing is what I like. I'm not really that cool with the whole group. I'm good with one-on-one. So in doing this thing, it tells me all these different ways to, you know, and how to treat the person and how to talk about, you know, why am I doing this? It's because it helps me. You know, that's the motivation, is that me, and every time I've had this experience with alcoholics over the years, when I'm done, like whether I'm sitting here in my living room with another alcoholic and we're working on his fourth step or whatever it is, I'm the one that feels tremendous afterwards. I feel, you know, grand after the meeting. And that's what I've learned in my own experience in working with somebody, is it's really, you must bring God into the meeting. You must pray, just like I pray before I speak tonight. I pray, because you gotta always bring God into the meeting. You have to do that. And when you do that, miraculous things happen. If you don't do it, you can kind of screw things up. But if you pray first, just amazing things happen. Sometimes some people come to talk to alcoholics before, and I've said, okay, wait, let's pray before we, you know, he tells me what his problem is that's going on in his life. And he's supposed to be working on, you know, some aspect of the 12th step. And he's telling me of a big crisis that's going on in his life. And I said, look, let's both pray first. Let's pray. And then let's open the big book and see what we can see. And then it's amazing, absolutely amazing, that no matter what was going on in that fella's life, and we pray first, and then we open this book, somehow or other, we're miraculously led to a paragraph that explains what the right answer is. It's like amazing. It's absolutely amazing. You end up right at the paragraph that just solved the guy's problem. You know, when he reads it, it's like, well, that's what it says right here, and that's how it works. So working with somebody else, it's amazing. I remember when nobody was asking me to sponsor them, and all of a sudden, a guy in the Marshfield group, he was like 12 years sober, and I'm only 1 year sober, and he asked me to sponsor him. And I'm like, whoa, you know, how am I going to do that? So I said to my sponsor, I said, you know, so-and-so asked me, I go, how can I be a sponsor? I've only got 1 year. He's got like 12. And my sponsor says, Brian, he sees something in you that he wants. He knows you can help him. And sure enough, when we got together and started working these, the first part of the process, I heard some music, so I think I'm out of time. Is that correct? We started working this process. And as we were going through it, and I was explaining about the phenomena, here's a guy with 12 years of sobriety, and I'm explaining to him about the phenomenon of craving and the insanity that precedes the first drink. I'm explaining what an alcoholic is. And this guy's like, oh, wow. You know, he's like, for the first time, it's like clicking. This is what an alcoholic, he's sober for 12 years. And he's now, it's like making sense what an alcoholic is. Thank you all.